take your Bibles tonight, you can go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We'll start in verse 1. Previously, we looked at the events that occurred at the Feast of Tabernacles. We read about forgiveness via the woman who was taken in adultery, about how certain Pharisees were born again of Satan, which is why they sought to kill Jesus Christ, about the healing of the man born blind. And finally, we read about Jesus being the good shepherd and how all will come to God by him. So tonight, we're going to consider some records in Luke that have no parallel in the other Gospels. Many of Jesus' followers had left him previously, but many at Jerusalem believed on him after hearing his teachings during the feast. And Luke chapter 10, verse 1 says, after these things, referring to after the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come, where he was going to go. So after the Feast of the Tabernacles, Jesus has 35 pairs of people, and he sends them on a mission similar to how he sent the 12 previously. Verse 2 says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Meaning, there's lots of people who are willing and ready to hear God's word, but there's only so many who are making it their mission to go out and speak it. So these men, these 35 pairs of people, had a great job to do. Verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Okay, so some of these instructions are very similar to the instructions he gave to the apostles when he sent them. They weren't to carry anything extra. Okay, they weren't to carry shoes. They were to wear shoes, but they weren't to carry an extra pair. Right? They weren't to carry money with them. Verse 5, and into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. So your greeting will come back to you. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. So if you find a place to stay, and they're happy to have you there, that's where you'll hang out. And in whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh or near to you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaves to us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So in either case, whether they received them or didn't receive them, they were to tell them that the kingdom of God is very near at this point. Okay? Which is something that Jesus Christ had been preaching about ever since he started, was the kingdom of God. And now he's telling them to say, hey, it's getting very near at this point. Verse 12. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And then similar to the instruction he gave to the apostles, he talks about how bad it's going to be for these cities. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Okay, so we know now that some of the cities that he's talking about are cities in Galilee. Okay, so remember that he was down south in Jerusalem for the feast. And now he's talking about some of the cities that he would send them to, which are cities surrounding the Sea of Galilee again. So he's back up north. Verse 14, but it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And now Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me, God. So the transitive property of believers. If you listen to these people, then you listen to Jesus Christ, and therefore you listen to God. And if not, then you despise God by the same idea. So he sends them forth. And then verse 17, that's all that's said about it. And verse 17 says, and the 70 returned again with what?
Joy.
With joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were just so excited by the things that they did on this mission. Right? He told them it was going to be hard. He said, you're going to be like lambs among the wolves. You know, he said, there's going to be people who don't receive you. You're not going to bring any extra stuff. You're going to have to go find people to take care of you. But they returned with joy, with great joy. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Like, so what Jesus Christ was communicating to them was like, they said, you know, even the devils are subject to your name. Cast out these devil spirits. And Jesus Christ was like, yeah, it was like Satan just falling from the sky flat on his face. Like, what a blessing to hear from Jesus Christ. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. This isn't even what we should be rejoicing in, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Like, is there a cooler way to say good job, guys? You know? Jesus Christ was so thankful for what these guys were doing. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father. So here's his prayer. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. Then he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So through the ages, prophets desired to be able to see and to do and to hear these things that these 70 did and didn't get to do those things. And these guys got to go and tell people about God and his word, and heal people, and cast out devil spirits, and they came back with such great joy in their hearts. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? What do you read? And the lawyer, he answering, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So these are two bits of scripture from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus that he pieces together. And verse 28 says, and he said, Jesus said unto him, the lawyer, thou hast answered right. This do, and you shall live. Good answer. But he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, says to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So who do I have to love as myself? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. So he tells them a story. A certain man went down from Jerusalem, which makes him a Jew, to Jericho. And he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Beat him up really good and robbed him. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he helped him out. Took care of him because he's a priest. He's a good guy. No. Says he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, to the tribe of the priests, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and said, oh, you poor thing, let me help you. No. He passed by on the other side. So these priests, these Levites, they wouldn't help this guy, this Jewish guy, one of their own. He was half dead, naked. They stripped him of his raiment. They took his clothes. He looked a mess. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. Now, the Samaritans don't like the Jews, remember? This guy's definitely going to leave him because he's a Jewish guy. When he saw him, he had what? Compassion on him. Compassion on him. So even though they didn't really like the Jews, he saw him and he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So he got off his own mode of transportation, gave the guy a ride, took him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Now which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor of him that fell among the thieves? Which one of these guys was the neighbor? Who took care of him, Mr. Lawyer Man? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou what? Likewise. Likewise. So he was instructed to be more neighborly. So this lawyer who tempted him needed to hear this lesson. He said, go and do thou likewise. You be a neighbor. You be more neighborly. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Martha and Mary are sisters. Jesus comes to the house, and Mary sits down to listen to Jesus Christ teach. But Martha was joyfully serving. No, it says that Martha was cumbered about much serving. The word cumbered is it indicates a lack of joy. It's to be hindered. It's to have an obstacle in front of you, is what it means to be cumbered. So she was serving, but she was serving in such a way that it was an obstacle to her. She was hindered by it. So she was cumbered about much serving and came to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me alone? Hath left me to serve alone? Don't you care? Look at all the stuff I'm doing. And she's on the ground. And I'm Yoda all of a sudden. Like, why aren't you saying anything to her? I'm doing all the dishes. I'm preparing all the food. I'm helping everybody out. Bid her, tell her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. About many things. So Martha had cares and worries and issues weighing her down, which is why she wasn't joyfully serving. She had all these other things that she was trying to prove or do whatever, but it was causing her to not serve with any kind of joy, but to want to know why anybody wasn't helping her. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, many, but one thing, in contrast to the many things that Martha was troubled about, one thing is needful, necessary, and Mary has chosen that good part, that good thing, which shall not be taken away from her, meaning I'm not going to tell her to get up and help you, because she has chosen the thing that she needs to do, which is sit and listen to me teach. Right? So there were many things troubling Martha, and she was having trouble putting into focus what she needed to be doing. She was instead cumbered about all this serving, right? And serving is a great thing. It's a really wonderful thing. But for Martha, it was becoming an obstacle. And she needed to just sit down and hear the word. And that's the lesson there. Chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught the disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And the rest of that verse is not in the critical texts. So thy kingdom come. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And the rest of that verse is also scratched. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? So he teaches them, or gives them an example of how to pray, right? We saw this in another section earlier in Matthew. A lot of what we're going to see here in Luke are things that Jesus Christ has taught other people previously. So he teaches them and gives them an example of how they should pray. Verse 5, And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, leave me alone. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give anything to you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give to him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And what that saying is, though he's not ready to get up and disturb his children, if this man, because of importunity, which means like he's being bothered, he's being continually asked by this person, he will get up and give him what he needs. And verse 9 is how he rolls it all together. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. So again, in the context of teaching them how to pray, he's saying, go ask God for stuff. God will get it for you. God will take care of you. If you ask, God will supply. Verse 11, If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will you give for him a fish, a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Right? And these are the same illustrations that we had seen earlier, right? The stone looks like the flatbread that they use. The fish is like the eel that looks like a serpent. And the scorpion, when it's rolled up, looks like an egg. So they're not going to give him a counterfeit thing. They're going to give him the real deal. So if you ask your father, your earthly father, for something, they're not going to give you a counterfeit thing. Verse 13, if then being evil, you know, we're not perfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The best gift of all, Holy Spirit. And as we see, have seen so far, Jesus Christ talks more and more specifically about Holy Spirit and what's going to be available as His time nears. Verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. So during this discussion, he casts out a devil spirit, and the people are surprised. But some of them said, he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a what? A sign from heaven. So here it is, casting out a devil spirit that causes this guy that they knew to be dumb to be able to speak again. And some of them responded with, well, he does this because he's got devil spirits, which we've seen before. And then others said, well, give us a sign from heaven, as if what they just saw wasn't miraculous. But he, verse 17, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. So he responds with the same stuff that he talked about. This was in Mark 3 and Matthew 12 previously. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man or stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Right? So he's saying it's the man on the outside that spoils the house. Right? The adversary is not going to cast out his own guys. Right? He doesn't have anything to gain. That's a house divided against itself. It's the person from the outside that can spoil the house. Namely, Jesus Christ. Verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, meaning when the unclean spirit leaves a person, okay, he walketh through the dry places seeking rest. He's looking for something else to possess. Not when he's cast out, when he goes out, when he leaves a man, looking for somebody else to mess with, and finds none, he says, I will return to my house when I came out. I'll go back to that guy. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished, ready to receive. Then goes he and takes to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Hey guys, this guy's still available. Come party. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And this is example to basically be contrary and to argue with what they're saying. If anything, a devil spirit will go find more devil spirits to bring in. He's not casting out devil spirits. Verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. So as he's teaching about devil spirits, this woman says these things. You're great, Jesus. Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Thanks, lady. Please don't talk about my mom's boobs. Blessed is people who hear the word of God and keep it. verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation." So more and more people are now gathering around because of, you know, what's being said, accusations, there's probably some shouting. When they gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign." Remember, he cast out the dumb spirit and they said, "Show us a sign." "And there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." 3 days and three nights. "The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them." Okay, and that's referring to 1 Kings 10, the Queen of the South, who heard God's word with joy. She's going to condemn this generation. She heard the word and rejoiced. "For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here," meaning him. "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come may see the light. And the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And the Pharisee saw it, and when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. So Jesus Christ has dinner with this guy, doesn't wash his hands. The Pharisee's like, "What?" And the Lord said unto him, "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you." So these Pharisees were like the others. They were worried more about the outside appearance and not what was going on in their hearts. Verse 42, "But woe unto you, Pharisees! For you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God." So what they're giving to God isn't the true tithe. They're just giving herbs and little things like mint. And they're passing over the judgment and the love of God. "These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. You like to be seen. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." Just entrapping people in your wrong doctrine, and they're falling for it. Verse 45. "Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also?" Are you reproaching us too, the lawyers? And he said, "Woe unto you also, lawyers! You asked for it. For you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touched not the burdens with one of your fingers." You require and tell everybody they have to live by the law, this burden of the law, but you yourself don't do it. "Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and it's your fathers who killed them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. So all the prophets that you have killed over the generations, since the beginning of the world, that blood may be required of this generation. Verse 51, from the blood of Abel, the first man to ever be killed, murdered, unto the blood of Zacharias, the last prophet mentioned before John the Baptist, which is also kind of interesting for those who like cool happenstances. Abel begins with A and Zacharias begins with Z. So from A to Z, the blood of A to the blood of Z, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered. So you took away the key of knowledge. You didn't even use it to let yourself in, and you stopped others who were trying to get in. Verse 53, and as he said these things unto them, that phrase should be better read, as he went out from there. As he went out from there, the scribes and the Pharisees begin to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. We're going to skip over chapter 12. If you want to read it at home, you can, but that entire chapter is more teachings that we've read before in previous sections in Matthew and Mark. Again, a lot of the stuff in these passages in Luke are things he had already taught or shared. God is reiterating them here. It is not the same records. They are occurring at a different time. But chapter 13, we're going to go down to verse 10. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. So she was kind of, bowed over, right? She was crooked, she was bent over. For 18 years, she couldn't lift herself up, couldn't straighten up. And it says in the beginning of the verse why that was. It said that she had a what? A spirit of infirmity. Now, not all medical conditions are spiritual, but in this case, her condition was. She had a spirit of infirmity. That's what caused her to be bent over like that for 18 years. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and what? Glorified God. Cast out that spirit of infirmity. And she stood straight up. And she glorified God. You think she was blessed? You think she was happy? That she was. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Jeepers, creepers. Him in the Sabbath day. But there he is. Once again, healing someone on the Sabbath day. This is what the ruler of the synagogue said to the people. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. And not on the Sabbath day. There are 6 other days you can come to us and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. You think that lady wanted to wait one more day after 18 years? The Lord, verse 15, then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Don't you loose your animals so they can go drink, or do they just go thirsty on the Sabbath? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? We can't loose her on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were what? Ashamed. Can't argue with the truth. They were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. The people were so blessed. Verse 22, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward where? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And so this is stuff that had occurred between the Feast of the Tabernacles and an upcoming feast. The mission that Jesus Christ would have given the 70 would have been right after that feast, which would have been the middle of October. And the next feast that Jesus Christ is required to go to occurs in December of 27 AD. So throughout the fall, Jesus Christ was visiting these villages where his 70 had traveled to first, moving the word and delivering people, and now was going to begin making his way back toward Jerusalem for the feast at the end of the year. So that's where we'll close tonight.